right, good morning, everyone. It's good to worship together, isn't it? Feels good to be together. And I know a lot of you watching online, you're hungry to get back into the house of the Lord. I just want to know when it's appropriate, when you're ready. We're ready to see you. We're ready to welcome you. And I just got, you know, I had a couple in our church who, very faithful members of our church, but because they have pre-existing health conditions, they've not been able to be with us for a year. And he called me this week and he said, Pastor Brady, I have good news. We have the green light now to come be a part of the worship service. So they're out of town this weekend, but next Sunday will be their first Sunday back with us in person. And I'm grateful that they have the green light, you know, from their doctors to come back. I know a lot of you are feeling that way. Every Sunday, more and more people are coming back together. And I want to remind you that in a couple of weeks, we're going to completely reopen our kids' space. And if you've not been up there, we took this time, you know, when we were kind of operating at half speed, we took that opportunity to completely renovate the children's space. And it looks really great. So if you have kids, walk up there, walk around, see what we've done. And we need you to serve. We need people to serve in kids' ministry. In order for us to open back up at 100%, we need about 100 more people to volunteer to serve in that area of our church. So pray about that, and I promise you, if you pray about it, God, 99.9% chance, God's already said this to me, if they pray, I will say yes. So I just want you to know, just want you to give you a heads up, but if you pray about it, the answer is going to be yes. If you hear no, you did not hear God. It was not the Lord that you heard. All right, also in a couple of weeks, on Palm Sunday, can you believe in about 3 weeks, it's going to be Palm Sunday. I'm excited about that. We are opening up New Life Midtown. So this past Wednesday night at First Wednesday, we prayed over the team that is launching New Life Midtown. It's in the geographic center of our city at Austin Bluffs and Academy. If you know people that live in that particular area, invite them to be a part of New Life Midtown. Have services there at 9 and 11. You can go to newlifechurch.org, get more information. But that's our eighth congregation, meeting in 6 locations, speaking 3 different languages all over our city. I'm grateful for the way the Lord blesses that, and so we're grateful for that. All right, turn in your Bible to Haggai. Can you find Haggai in less than 60 seconds? I dare you. Ready to go? Go to Haggai. If you're using a digital device, that's cheating, okay? You don't get full credit in heaven if you're using a digital device. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you're using digital device, but don't be cocky about finding Haggai so quickly. Google did it for you. I know what happened. Haggai. And we're going to talk today about some misplaced priorities. The story of Haggai, and if you've been following this series through the minor prophets, you know we started out with Israel being under assault from the violent Assyrian army, and the Assyrians came in and attacked, and the prophets were speaking about that. And then the Babylonians took power. The Babylonians became the dominant world military force, and they took all of Israel, most of Israel, into captivity for almost 70 years. So when Haggai comes along, the Babylonians have now fallen into disrepair, and now a new military force has risen, the dominant force on the planet were the Persians, which is modern-day Iran. So the Assyrians are modern-day Iraq. The Babylonians and the Persians are modern-day Iran. So Haggai now is watching the people of Israel come back to the destroyed city of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has been ransacked. Jerusalem's a mess. It's really a pile of rocks. It's rubble. There's no homes. There's no businesses. It's been completely destroyed. And the people of God have been in Babylonian exile for almost 70 years. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11, a scripture that all of you like to quote, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and future." That is actually a promise for when they will return to Israel and the way God will sustain them through captivity. Well, sure enough, the Persians were much nicer people than the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And they said, "Go back to Jerusalem. Go back to your hometown. Go back and rebuild." And that's exactly what they did. The people of God turned out to be a pretty industrious group of people. But when they got back to Jerusalem, they forgot the place of God. They actually started focusing on their own house and neglected the work of God in their city. And Haggai, the prophet, stands up and goes, hey, what in the world is going on with you? Why are you forgetting the God who delivered you? God is the one that rescued you from Babylonian captivity. God is the one that brought you back to your homeland. Why are you not focused on what God is doing in your city? So let's read this together. Haggai chapter 1, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. He says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? Now, paneled house would have been a house that wealthy people lived in. So not just brick and mortar, but actually wood. Houses that were made of wood were considered very expensive. Poor people lived in mud houses, brick houses that were made out of the dirt. But rich people, people of wealth, could afford for timber to be imported to and build a house out of it. Now, we take that for granted here in Colorado to have wood inside your house. But that was a sign of wealth to have wood in your home. Now, it's important for you to catch this, okay? He says, isn't it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, he's talking about God's house, the temple, remains a ruin? He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to what you're doing. Let's stop here for a moment because that's the message today. This morning, I have one objective at the end of this message, and I'm including for myself and for my house. We're coming out of a pandemic. We're coming out of a turbulent time. And I just felt this morning that the Lord wanted us to pause as a church, as a family, as maybe you're married, unmarried, no matter what your status is, you are a woman of God, a man of God, you're a family of God. And the Lord says to us, give careful thought to how you're spending your time. Give careful thought to the priorities of your home. And he says, you have planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. Now he's meddling, all right? Now he's just getting into my business. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're never warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, it just you never have enough. In other words, it just seems like to me, this is what Haggai is saying, that the blessing of the Lord is not on your home, that you're missing something. So we're back from exile. We're back from the place of captivity, but we plant these plants. We go do our work, but there's something missing. There just doesn't seem to be fulfillment, to be satisfaction, the blessing of God on our life. So Haggai is addressing this, and he says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Second time he said that. And he says, go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, says the Lord, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. He says, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, listen to this, God says, I'm the one that blew it away. I'm the one that took the blessing of God off your house. He says, why? Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Now, Haggai is a prophecy about misplaced priorities. And this is what's happened. I mean, this is not a message meant to shame or embarrass anyone. This is a message meant to challenge myself and to challenge all of us. So a year ago, we got news of this virus that's spreading all over the world. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know how it affected people. We didn't know what it was going to cause. We certainly could not have predicted a year ago how it would have affected our lives. Nobody in the room could have forecasted what was going to happen. So for good or for bad, no matter what your opinion of it is, what we can all agree is the pandemic upset our world. Can we all agree on that? Take politics out of it. Take whatever your medical thing out of it. What we can agree on is that COVID-19 and the pandemic that ensued totally turned us upside down. It disrupted our lives. And for good sake, for a lot of us, we had to take personal measures to protect ourselves. Maybe you had pre-existing health conditions. Maybe you were going through chemo. Maybe you had an elderly parent that you were taking care of. And so you had to take measures, health measures, to protect your health and the health of other people. So we had to change up our priorities, right? We had to make adjustments. Some of us had to make radical adjustments to our schedule, to our priorities. Now, as we see the end coming near, as we're walking out of that, this is exactly what Haggai is talking about. It's fascinating to me how a text that was written 3,000 years ago by the help of the Spirit still speaks to us today. Because all of us are coming out of exile. In a sense, we've all been in exile the last year. We've all been isolated. And we've all gone through this. So look at verse 14. He says, so the Lord, I love this, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of, really hard word, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and listen to this, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Now, a couple of Sundays ago, I talked to you about the remnant, about this group of people who had refused to bow their knees to idols, who had kept righteousness and humility and meekness at the core of their heart. And listen to this, in verse 14, he says, because the Spirit began to breathe on them, because the Spirit began to hover over them. Just a moment ago, we prayed, we sang a song that became a prayer of the morning, breathe on us. Now, I don't want any of you breathing on me, but I do want the Spirit breathing on me. Somebody say amen. Let's keep your breath to yourself for right now. But I do want the Spirit breathing on me. I need the Spirit breathing on me. Now, let me just say this, okay? That feels good. It sounds good. But let me just caution you that when you ask for the Spirit to breathe upon you, you will grow spiritual hands and feet that have to move. And it says when the Spirit began to breathe on them, it says they came and began to work on the house of the Lord their God. So Haggai is saying the only way to get your priorities reshaped, the only way to have your priorities refocused and to come into alignment with God is to allow first and foremost for the Spirit to breathe on you. Now, so when the Spirit begins to stir us, when the Spirit begins to hover over the dark of the deep of our lives, we actually start working on the right things. So this morning, my challenge to you is, what did you have to set aside a year ago? What did you have to pause a year ago? Now, there's two things that are about to happen. And I want to say, I want you to hear this very clearly. This is the word of the Lord for you today. There were some things that you paused that never need to come back to life. You need to give it a good funeral. Wish it well, and never go back to it. Now, that's up for you to decide. I don't know for each individual life in this room. I just know for myself, Pam and I have sat down many, many times in the past year, and we said, you know what? Not everything that went away was bad. We learned to have more meals at the house. We learned to spend more time together. We discovered that we still like each other. That's a good thing for your pastor to like his wife, and more importantly, for his wife to like him. We discovered we like one another. And we discovered that we didn't need to travel quite as much. Now, I miss travel, but I think I was probably doing a little too much. In other words, in all of our homes, the beauty of last year is we got to reevaluate what was important and what was not important. So two things are about to happen, if not already. You're going to be able to say no to things that you've always wished you could say no to. Now you have permission to say no to it forever. Amen. Come on. That's a good thing. However, there are some things that you set aside that the Lord is now asking you to pick back up. The Lord is asking you to pick it back up now. And because those things are important for His kingdom, and the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can help us reshape holy and healthy habits. And I'm asking you this morning, are you re-emerging from this pandemic with holy and healthy habits? Have you picked up bad habits along the way? Because in a year's time, you can pick up bad habits. You can shape and form a habit in 90 days, by the way. Do you know that? You can either pick up a bad habit or quit a bad habit in about 90 days. Now, for some habits, it takes longer. But for most human beings, you can start a good habit or pick up a bad habit in 90 days. We just had a year. You could have picked up a dozen bad habits or a dozen good habits. But in a sense, we're all returning from exile. So I want to give you two things to consider this morning. And I'm asking you to take this super personally, okay? I want you to write these two things down because I think these are the two priorities for everyone in the body of Christ right now. So I'm going to speak to you about this. Haggai is talking about this, so I'm going to talk about this. So what are the two priorities for us right now? Number one, here's the first priority. Please listen to me very carefully. This is more important than you think. If you're watching online right now, I want you to look at the camera, look at me right now, and don't be distracted by what's in your house or what's running around your house right now, because listen to me very carefully. We all need to pay attention to the health of our souls right now. We all need to pay attention. And oftentimes, we do not know how wounded we are until the battle is over. And I've talked to a lot of military, I did not serve in the military, but a lot of my military friends who have experienced combat, a lot of my law enforcement friends who have been on the front line of difficult situations, they've all said this to me. In the moment of adrenaline, when the fight is on, when you're feeling adrenaline, your body does not feel the pain that it feels later on. And sometimes it's after the battle is over, when things have calmed down, when the adrenaline has flushed out of your system, that you discover, I'm more wounded than I thought. And it's okay right now, New Life Church, to stop and to say to yourself and to the people you love, I'm not okay right now. In fact, can we just take off the religious mask and say to each other, I'm not okay. Or maybe you are okay. That's great. That's awesome. I hope that's true. But if you're not okay, it is okay to say you're not okay. Let me say that one more time. If you're not okay, it is okay to say that you're not okay. That's what church is for. And we've all experienced, there's two things that you've all experienced this past year, all of us. We all have this shared experience of the past year. Number one, we've all experienced fatigue. Unusual fatigue. In fact, I just read this report from a team of therapists who believe that most of America, 360, 70 million people, they would say 80 to 90% of those 360 million people in America are experiencing some form of burnout. Maybe you've never gone through a season of burnout. Well, you probably have now. This past year has exhausted our emotions. We've lost, between pandemic and the racial unrest and the politics, throw that in. All three of those things last year culminated into one giant use of our emotions. And some of you didn't use them very well. And learning how to cope with that much emotion at one time is difficult for any human being. So we've all experienced fatigue. You're probably more tired than you think. And a good night's sleep won't solve this problem. The only thing that can solve this kind of problem is time unplugged, time with God, time with the right people, time absorbing the right kinds of emotions. You know, one of the best things I did was I got off a lot of social media. I have people posting on my behalf, but I'm not posting, and I'm not reading your responses, and I am not, I don't read as many emails anymore, and I don't watch news hardly ever. Hardly ever do I turn on any form of news. Now, I know what's going on. I didn't put my head in the sand. I'm aware of the issues. I'm just not consumed by them. But I am fascinated with Jesus right now. More than ever before in my life, maybe. I'm really fascinated with Jesus, and I'm really in love with my family, and that's the only thing that is restoring and rebuilding my soul. So we've all experienced fatigue, and we've all experienced loss. We've all lost something. Maybe it was a graduation. Maybe it was a vacation. Whatever it was, a loss. Maybe you felt a loss of freedoms that you once had. a loss of mobility, a loss of whatever. We've all experienced loss. So fatigue and loss add up to something. So I'm just saying to you, as we walk into this spring season together, as we march toward an empty tomb in 4 weeks, as we come to grips with what we've just walked through, it is okay as a church to say, I need to reprioritize, I need to refocus my priorities. So here's the second priority. Number one, pay attention to the care of your soul. Here's the second priority that Haggai reminds us of. Come alongside God in his work through the local church. Come alongside God. I'm calling you back. And the reason those two things are together is listen very carefully, okay? Healing rarely, if ever, happens in isolation. This is the truth. I'm telling you truth this morning, okay? You cannot heal by yourself. Hardly ever. And we weren't wired to heal alone. We were hardwired by God to heal in community. That's why the church is more critical now than ever. And that's why I said first, pay attention to the condition of your souls. Get the healing that you need. And by the way, it's the church that is going to bring you some of that healing, if not a lot of that healing. And that's what I found. I looked at, there are people that I live closely with, and I have my own small groups inside the church. I actually have more than one that I'm a part of here in the church. And I have looked at those small groups of people that I live life with here at New Life. And I have said to them, it's because of you that I have found healing in this past year. The reason your pastor is not burned out and quit this year, because I am surrounded by people that I love and care about, and I love them. And they love me. And it's the church that walked me through this past year. And I'm so grateful that I did not have to retreat from the community of the church. My body and my health allowed me to stay connected to some degree. And it's because of that that my soul is full today. And I want to just say this because there's such a temptation right now to isolate yourself. But if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the epistles, the book of Revelation, every Christ follower mentioned in the New Testament belonged to a church. There are no exceptions. Give me any name from the New Testament, I'll tell you they belong to a church. They belong to a community of believers. There's no exception. There are no independent people in the New Testament. They all would have laughed at us. They would have laughed at the Americans. You can serve God by yourself? Are you kidding me? You can follow Jesus alone? Are you kidding me? No. Can you get to heaven on your own? Of course. But you'll never be a fully mature follower of Christ without the community of church. This is where we grow up. And I want to just challenge something this morning. There are so many people that are looking for the church that fully agrees with them. If you'll agree with my racial views, if you'll review my view of masks, if you will agree with all of my politics, then I will attend your church. I've had people say that to me over the past year. You'd be shocked at what I have heard this past year. Pastor Brady, if you don't completely agree with my politics, I cannot attend your church. When did that get added to the Great Commission? Go into all the world and teach them your politics. I thought this was about Christ. I mean, what is this about? What has this become if it's not about Jesus? And by the way, Jesus will help you with your politics. But your politics won't help you with Jesus. I'm just telling you. So I know this, that I want you to commit to a group of people who might disagree with you on a few things. So our core convictions will not change. I will not compromise my core convictions. Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Holy Church. The scriptures are held in high regard. I will not compromise the scriptures. It is Christ and Christ alone. I will not compromise core convictions. But I am okay with being around a group of people who might disagree with me on some minor things. And let's not make minor things major things. Because what happens when you commit yourself to a covenant of believers, this is when iron begins to sharpen iron. All of us are running from the sparks right now. Oh, yeah. Why are you running from the sparks? Why are you running from the heat? Iron sharpens iron. I love how people quote that to me. Iron sharpens iron, Pastor Brady. Well, what happens when the heat's coming your way? They all speak that to me. Well, Pastor Brady, you don't want to be sharpened? Listen, I can't take any more heat, all right? You need to take some heat. And by the way, iron sharpening iron were two pieces of metal sharpening each other. Wasn't just one piece of metal getting hot. Both pieces of metal were getting hot. Iron sharpening iron. And so if you're looking for the perfect church, I just got a bad news for you. New Life is not it. You will be sorely disappointed here. In fact, every church you attend will be incomplete. Every church is incomplete. All congregations are broken. They're full of broken people, led by broken leaders. It's just messy sometimes. Nobody's purposely being messy, but sometimes it's messy. And I love what Eugene Peterson says. He says, sometimes the fleas come with the dog. We all want the dog, we just don't want to take care of the dog when he does stuff in the backyard, right? Dog. Well, I see all your posts about your sweet little dogs, but I know how messy they are. In fact, most of you have more grace for your dogs than the people sitting next to you at church. You'll pick up the mess from your dog in the neighborhood. You just don't want anybody around you at church causing any mess. I'm preaching now, right? Listen, I've been right here with you for 13 and a half years. I've not left you. I've not run away. I'm going to be here until I retire. The Lord's already told me that, which is not that many more years, by the way. But I'm here. I need us to stay together because the world divides us into opposing groups. But it's the church that has the power to unite us right now. And the world is bent on separating, dividing us, putting us into class and political warfare, socioeconomic divisions and strife. But the church has always been the one that has brought us together. That's why I don't give up on it. That's because I know the power of the church. And here's what I've seen as I've watched this past year. Sin separates us. It fragments us. It sentences us to isolation and solitary confinement. This is what the world's doing to people right now. If you've been out there, you know this, what I'm saying is true. It's fragmenting us. And what happens is the world is living under a sentence of solitary confinement. And if you've ever been in prison, a lot of the prisoners that are watching right now, a lot of the state and federal prisons have us on right now. And I just want to say, you know what solitary confinement does to the human soul. It's awful. It's the worst form of punishment. And this is what the world's doing. It's isolating us and separating us and sentencing us to solitary confinement. But the church restores us and unites us and sets us into a community. So Paul was addressing the same problem 2,000 years ago. Galatians, listen to this. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave or free. There's no male or female, for you're all one. Say the word one. This is the only place. You know, this is the only place on planet Earth right now where that's true. This is the only place. You can't find this kind of unity anywhere else except for the local church. It's inside the church where we becomes me. We instead of me, us instead of I, our instead of mine. I'll leave that up just for a moment. This is the power of the church. This is what the church does. We instead of me, us instead of I, our instead of mine. Our language begins to change. In the world, we begin to focus on me, I, and mine. And you know, you don't have to teach toddlers that, by the way. Have you noticed this? Little kids are born with this birthed inside of them. Mine, mine, me, I. But what happens is a transformation that happens over when we become adults. And we realize that we're actually more powerful when it's we, us, and our. We, us, and our are actually more powerful than me, mine, and me and me, we. We, us, and our. Only in the church can we, us, and our become possible. And New Life Church, I'm just asking you, would you take this week with me and think about the priorities in your life? First of all, are you taking care of yourself? I'm asking you to take good care of yourself. And if you need help taking care of yourself, all you have to do, we have ministries happening all over the church, and we never stopped them, not one time. We did not stop doing work here. We did not stop. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have small groups meeting all over the city. We have ministries that are happening for students and kids every single day of the week, everywhere, all over the city. If you need marriage help, we want to help you with your marriage. If you need help with your kids, we want to help you with your kids. And this is what Haggai said. Haggai chapter 2, he says, "Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty." And listen to this last phrase. He says, "And this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt." He's reminding them of a 1,000 years before when they were in Egypt. He says, "This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you, and because that is true," I love this next phrase, "do not fear." No matter what the future holds, no matter what is in front of us, I have good news for you, New Life Church. The Spirit is among us. And because He's here with us, there's nothing to be afraid of. And I love this verse 9. I read this when I was a kid. I always thought this was the best prophecy in Haggai. "And the glory of this present house," what God is doing right now, "will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place," I love this, "and in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." Would you stand up with me this morning? Stand up with me this morning. Let's prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord. Haggai gives us a blueprint for walking forward. Do not neglect the place. Do not neglect the work of God inside the community. And don't neglect the condition of your own soul. So this morning, I want us just to turn our hands toward heaven. I don't know if you know this, but there are charismatic hand signals. Did you know this? Let me teach you this just for a moment. This is receiving, and this is blessing. But this is the time for you to receive. And in just a moment, at the end of this service, we're actually going to turn our hands this way and say, "Now go and be a blessing." But you cannot be a blessing until you learn to receive. And so we're coming to the table of the Lord to receive something, so that when we're sent out of here, we can be a blessing to someone. But this is a moment, this is my favorite moment, just to receive from the Lord. To confess back to Him, just clear our hearts before God, confess back anything. Where do you need help? So Father in heaven, we come as a broken and incomplete people. Father, we're not complete. But Lord, You're the one who comes and makes all things new. Only through You and through the resurrected Christ, by the power of the Spirit, through the authority of Your Scriptures, can a human being be restored and set whole again. So Father, I'm asking this morning that around this room that You would come and heal the brokenness in our lives. Lord, we pray for the condition of our own souls. We're all more tired than we think. And we've all lost more than we think. But Father, You are the one who says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we come to You this morning, the ultimate source of our rest. And You're the ultimate source of our healing. So we come this morning into the presence of the Lord, and we ask now that You would restore our souls. And heal our broken land, and heal our broken marriages, and heal our broken homes. Father, we ask, we give You permission to step in to the messy parts of our lives, to walk through the door of our heart, and take up residence. And some of you this morning have never, ever invited Jesus into your life, and I want to give you an opportunity this morning to pray a very simple prayer with me. But by praying this prayer, you're opening up the door of your life. You're welcoming in the person of Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and if you are here today and you're ready to start following Jesus, just pray this with me and pray it in your own way if you want. And there's nothing magical about the words. It's about you believing. Father in heaven, I am broken, I'm a sinner, and I cannot help myself. But I choose today to say yes to Jesus, to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And by the power of the Spirit, would you set me in your family? And would you walk alongside me as I make Jesus my Lord? And I ask this now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I want you to sing this song. This song recenters our priorities. This is actually a song that's lifted out of the Apostles' Creed. And it declares what we believe. And I just think that this moment we need to reimagine our and reestablish good priorities. And so now don't just sing this song. I want you to declare this song. I want you to speak this song. I want you to say yes to this song as we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord. Let's sing this together.
Come on, we declare it together.
Jesus.
The table is this beautiful image of community, of family. And as the body of Christ, Jesus Christ being the centerpiece of that table. And as Pastor Brady said, this has been a year of perhaps of isolation and exile. But the invitation of our God, it never expires. He continues to call us to come and dine this morning. And so it was on the night that Jesus was handed off to suffer and die that he took his bread and he broke it. And after he blessed it, he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "This is my body that has been broken for you. Take, eat. And when you do so in remembrance of me." And then after supper, he took the cup of wine. And after he blessed it, he said, "This is my blood that has been shed for you and for the forgiveness of many. As you drink this, church, let's do so. And let's do so in remembrance of him. Let's take his body." And the cup. Come on, just right where you are, begin to give him thanks. Come on, lift your voice, for he is good. He is good. Come on. Yes. Come on. Yes. I just sing it again. Here we go. Team down this morning, and we want to be able to do some prayer ministry if you would like that. As Pastor Brady said, this is a sign of receiving, and now we would like to bless you on your way out. May you know that you are a son and a daughter of the Almighty God, and may his peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus follow you into your week until we see you next weekend. Go, grace and blessings this morning.